Appendix 2, Dangers and Difficulties of Travel. The following extract is included to further illustrate the severity and dangers of John Kershaw's journeys in preaching the gospel. Badger Slacks. I have tramped along all the moorland roads which lead into Saddleworth at all times and in all weathers, sometimes at the dead of night. Badger Slacks, extracted from Songs of a Moorish Moorland Parish by Ammon Wrigley, a local historian and poet, published in 1912. I have tramped along all the moorland roads which lead into Saddleworth at all times and in all weathers, sometimes at the dead of night. This came about through gathering flints, a kind of research which often takes the enthusiast into faraway corners of the moors. At nightfall, I fell in with old shepherds, and we stayed together talking round warm hearthstones until midnight or early morning. Then I had the long miles to face and tramp homeward from out Blackstone Edge Way, from Rishworth, Scammonden, Marshton, and other places which lie over the Saddleworth Moors. If the weather was fine, these night walks, though lonely, were not unpleasant. In fact, trampling along a high moorland road under a summer moon is one of the most enchanting things imaginable. But if there was a stinging wind to fight against, it was cruel, pitiless work, for on the bleak, shelterless moors which bound Saddleworth, the wind does not take the trouble to go round a man. It goes straight through him and hurries on its way. Of all the lonely roads that I have tramped along in the night, under moon and through rain and mist, there is none which has affected me like that bit of moorland road which shoots down through Badger Slacks. I am not Bogart Fiert, as they say in Saddleworth, but I will confess that I have never come through Badger at night without thinking about the old tales I had heard of that moor hollow, tales of murder, outlawry, poaching, and heavy drinking, which had taken place there a long way down the last century. Its tragical character seems to cling to Badger still, for it was at Rape's Lane end that I last said good day to poor Bob Kenyon. A few days later, one stormy afternoon in September 1903, he went from Badger down the Clough's Moss to be riddled with shot by a poacher, hurled into a clue, and buried under peat and stone. It is a weird, creepy, uncanny place in the night, and one should go there on a summer day when the skies are blue and the east wind is shouting its gladness upon the clothes and spinning round in the hollow as if for the sheer joy of driving the savagery out of it. The road from Buckstones curves at Tom Clue and then strikes across Dan Clue Moss level with the moor. The wind which rips across the road in the night is just the wind, and nothing more. But once, down under the shadow of the Rapes on one hand and the high black scar of Little Moss on the other, it sounds in the roadside grass like stealthy footsteps following in the dark. Now and then, in a gust, it sounds down the deep clue like a long, agonized wail. When I come down that road in the dark, I like to hear the moor waters thundering over the rocks at Ragstone Bridge. I know then that my feet are on happy earth again. At the beginning of the last century, men lived wild lives there, and what was done in the way of lawlessness, if all could be told, would not be fit for nervous persons to hear at bedtime. It was one of the chief haunts of a gang of thieves, you might call them highwaymen, who for years terrorized the Moorland Road as far as Out Lane. They also raided the Stone Edge and the Blackstone Edge roads. You may still hear of masked men who lorded it over the three roads and robbed coach and foot traveler alike, who swept across the moors like a storm in the night and descended upon the sleeping hamlets, broke into the houses of the yeomen, bound the inmates, and carried off all the valuables that they could lay their hands upon. Sometimes they broke into the warehouses of the manufacturers and took away as much cloth as they could carry. I have heard an old shepherd say that even now there must be many rolls of cloth buried in the peat round Buckstones. It was this gang which was suspected of having committed the cloth robbery at Linfitt's house about 1816. Its members lived great distances apart in Soylen, Scammonden, Littleborough, and out Highmoor Way in Saddleworth. This enabled the gang to operate successfully for several years, for no one would suspect that a man at Newhouses was associated in organized thieving with another man living in Soylent. The wide distribution of its members would help the gang in many ways. Each would keep his ears and eyes open in his particular district and report to headquarters the likely places and times for making a raid. My grandfather, when a young man, followed the occupation of Teamer, and one of his principal journeys was from Halifax to Manchester. He had often to pass over Blackstone Edge in the night, and on several occasions he met the masked gang going in the direction of Ripponden, but was never interfered with. Old Sam of Banktop told me that his father, who was a shepherd, had often met the gang hurrying across the moors in the night. On the following morning, he invariably heard that houses had been plundered. Old Sam said further that his father and other shepherds personally knew most of the gang, but dared not say a word for fear of the consequences. For some time, the arm of law does not appear to have reached very far in outlandish districts like Badger Slacks. But at last it came down with a vengeance which wiped the gang out at one stroke. This came about through one of its members turning informer. He was a man named John Shaw, who lived at Sunbrow above Junction. Having received full information respecting the plans of the raiders, the law put on a bold face and surprised and overpowered them at Buckstones on the Marston Moors. It was an alehouse at the time, and like Badger Slacks and the White House of Blackstone Edge, formed one of the chief haunts of the gang. The captors found a pan full of watches on the fire, the proceeds of various robberies. There was also a corpse in the house. Old Joe Butlin used to say that they were tried at York about 1818, and sentenced to various terms of transportation, while Shaw the informer was compelled to wear a stout leather collar about his neck as a mark of degradation. I have heard this statement discredited, but old Butlin always persisted that it was true and said that it was called a belt of starvation. He often asserted that he had seen Shaw wearing it. So ended, and not a moment too soon, a dark chapter of Moorland history. But the wild days were not done even then at Badger Slacks. It became a haunt of men who, in another fashion, cared little for the law and less for its administrators. They cursed one and fought the other, but in the long run, the law came out on the top.